Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing to talk about what I call our Sabbath rest. That terminology is taken from Hebrews chapter 4. And the scripture there was talking about, in the same way as the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt and God intended them to go into a place of rest, a land that was flowing with milk and honey, where all of their needs were provided and all of these things. Well, in the same way, God brought us out of bondage to the devil, not just to have us suffer and struggle through a wilderness, but to enter into a place of rest with the Lord. And then the scripture there in Hebrews chapter 4 compares it to the rest that God took after He had created the heavens and the earth. And He rested. That didn't mean that He was tired. It meant that everything was so complete, everything was provided, that when He created man, man didn't have to go plant a tree and wait on fruit to grow. God already had made the provision before Adam and Eve were even formed and before they ever had a need, and they just entered into His rest where they relied on Him and took of His provision and received it. Well, that is a beautiful picture of what has happened to us when we get born again. God has already provided everything. Your healing is already provided. You don't need to go pray and ask God to heal you, but instead just reach out and take the healing, because by His stripes you were healed. You don't have to ask God to give you peace. The Lord has already commanded the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all of these other things for you. And it's just a matter of you resting and receiving what has already been done. Boy, that is a beautiful picture of what we're talking about. And that's what the Sabbath was picturing. And I've been making some comments the last few days, and I know stir up a lot of criticism, and there's probably going to be a lot of people writing me and telling me that I've missed it and I'm of the devil. But you know what? I also know that there's a lot of people getting set free. There's a lot of people that are being blessed and encouraged by this. You know, if you're one of those that's receiving, I'd just like to ask you to help counter all of the criticism that I'll be getting by sending in an email or a call or a letter or something and just saying, amen, go for it. Amen. You know, sometimes we are quick to let the people who are upset say something and we hear their voice. But I also know that there's a lot of people that are receiving truth and being blessed. And I encourage you just to write in and encourage us. It'll bless us and it'll help us. We were sharing yesterday out of Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. This scripture says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Verse 16 lists five things, and it says these are shadows of things to come, but the body is of Christ. If you have the physical body present, why would you hug a shadow? Instead, go directly to the body, the person, and embrace them. And before Jesus came, there were things that were types and shadows in the Old Testament, pictures to illustrate truths. And before Jesus showed up, well, then the illustration was very needful and it was very beneficial because it could illustrate and show us things. But now that Jesus has come on the scene, why would we still be hugging the shadow, observing these ordinances that were only pictures and shadows of something that's real? Why don't we just embrace the real thing? And the Sabbath is one of these things that's listed here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Now, in our program yesterday, I began to start going through this list. Let me just continue that. It says, the first thing that no one should judge you in is meat. That's talking about all the dietary laws about certain types of meat. You weren't supposed to eat pork. You weren't supposed to eat shrimp, crab, oysters, anything like that. All of those things were forbidden. There was a number of different things. Now, most people today recognize that we aren't supposed to do that. And on our program yesterday, I turned over to 1 Timothy chapter 4, where it says that if anybody preaches that you cannot eat certain meats and things, that it is a doctrine of the devil. I tell you what, that ought to answer this question, some of the things that people are preaching today. The second thing that it says here, not to let people judge you in, is in drink. Did you know that there were also laws about what you could and could not drink? Now, the average person watching this program right now probably doesn't even know what the Old Testament laws concerning drink were. And so, if you don't even know what they were, and if you aren't concerned about it, then that must mean that you believe you're free from that, that these dietary laws concerning what you eat and what you drink, that those things were only pictures and shadows, they've passed away, and you don't have to worry about them today. Well, I agree with that. And let's go on to the next thing. And the next thing it says, don't let anybody judge you in respect of a holy day. You know what this is talking about? There were all kinds of holy days commanded to be observed. For instance, the Feast of Passover, where during the time that Moses, you know, was bringing the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, the last plague that happened was the death angel came over, and the death angel killed the firstborn child in every house where there wasn't blood of a ram put on the doorpost and the lintel of the house. If you didn't have that blood over your doorpost, well, then the death angel went in and killed the firstborn, and that was a plague that caused the Egyptians to thrust the Israelites out of the land. And so the Lord said that when they observed that feast of Passover and the meal, that this was something that had to be observed throughout their generations. Well, there's some people that believe that even though we aren't Jews, I'm not a Jew, I'm a Gentile, a non-Jew, but I've become a Christian. There are some people in the Christian church that are teaching that Christians should go back and start observing the Jewish Passover and some of these rituals and some of the feast and the Feast of Tabernacles and the Day of Atonement, and we're supposed to observe all of those kind of things. Well, you can find a scripture that prescribed every one of those things, but they're all Old Testament scriptures. In the New Testament, why would I observe the Day of Atonement where you kill an animal and shed their blood and go through all of those rituals when I now have the reality of Jesus coming? The Son of God Himself came and spilt His blood for me. And every day of my life, I honor the sacrifice that Jesus gave. I don't have to observe the Day of Atonement. I don't have to remember the Passover because now Jesus, my Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for me. And I live in a continual state of fellowship and praise and worship with God over what He's done for me. I don't have to observe the Passover. I am not bound to these holy days because they were only types, shadows of something that was to come. But now I've got the very reality of it in Christ. And I don't need that. Most of you would say, amen. Now, there's some of you, again, there's a movement even among Christians to go back to our Jewish roots. And you know what? I'm not against the Jews and I'm not against the Jewish roots. I go back and I study about the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of, the Passover and all of these things. And there's lessons to be learned. And I'm not against any of those things. But I tell you what I am against is people trying to get Christians to go back to their Jewish roots and once again start adopting and going through Jewish rituals and traditions. Jesus delivered us from that. Those were only pictures and types and shadows. And there was a time that that was appropriate, but it's not appropriate now. And for Christians to be going back into Judaism, I guarantee you that's what Paul got beaten and persecuted and thrown in prison over, was because he was telling the Jews to quit living like a Jew and start living like a Christian. And the Jews were infuriated over it, and that's the reason they persecuted him. I can guarantee you if the Apostle Paul was here on my program today and hearing some of the things that are being done in the name of the Lord to put Christians back under the bondage and the legalism and the ritual that the Jews came from, I guarantee you the Apostle Paul would be a lot harder on it than what I am. You know, I don't know why I get off on these things except that there's just not a lot of people that will say these things. There's not a lot of people that will say the truth. They're afraid of offending somebody. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I really want people to be blessed and to be edified and built up. But you know what? I'm not afraid to say these things. It's the truth. And I'm not saying anything to you that the Bible isn't saying. It says, don't let anybody put you back into these observances of a holy day. That was the third thing in this list. The fourth thing that's listed right here, it says, don't let them judge you in respect to the new moon. You know what that's talking about? Every time there was a new moon in the Old Testament, you were commanded to offer sacrifices. And there were rituals that you had to go through concerning every time a new moon came up. Now, how many of you observe that? Well, most of you don't even know when the last new moon was, much less observe some type of sacrifice over the new moon. So the point is, you don't do that. So here's four things listed. Don't let them judge you in respect to meat. Most of you will eat pork. You'll eat shrimp. You violate that Old Testament law. Most of you don't even know what the Old Testament dietary laws concerning drink are. Most of you don't observe the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Passover, the Day of Atonement, because you recognize those were only symbolic and they are now fulfilled in Christ. Most of you don't know when the last new moon was. You didn't offer a sacrifice. So you believe that these things were all rituals, types, and shadows. We don't have to observe them now because the reality is here in Christ. Well, the next thing in this list, it says, don't let them judge you in respect of a Sabbath day. That's amazing to me how some people would say, oh yeah, the meat and drink, the holy days, the new moon sacrifices, those things have passed away. But then you'll take one out of that list of five, the Sabbath, and say, we still have to observe this. We still have to cease from work on the Sabbath day. Nope, that has also been fulfilled. It was only a type and a shadow of something that is now a reality in Christ. Man, that's good news. You know, we're going to take a break. Our announcer's got some information to share with you, and I encourage you to listen and to respond to this, and then I'll be back on the other side of the break to continue this teaching about our Sabbath rest.
Andrew's teaching titled, Our Sabbath Rest, is available on a single CD, or it's available on a DVD made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD number TK19C or DVD number T3504D when you contact the ministry. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
So I've been using Colossians 2, 16 and 17 to show that there were five things listed that were only shadows, pictures, illustrations of New Testament realities. Now that we have the New Testament reality in Christ, we don't have to go by the Old Testament illustration or picture anymore. And out of these five things, four of them are generally agreed in the body of Christ that they were Old Testament rituals that were necessary at the time to illustrate a point. But now that we have the real thing, we don't need the illustrations. We've now got a fulfillment in Christ. And four out of these five things, people will agree that, yes, those things have been superseded. They are no longer necessary. But the fifth thing in this list, which is talking about the Sabbath, there are still lots of Christians. Matter of fact, there's an entire denomination that builds their name, Seventh-day Adventist, around the observance of the Sabbath, and they promote that. And there are people that still believe that you have to honor the Sabbath. And they can go back to Isaiah chapter 58, many different Old Testament scriptures that talk about judgment, punishment if you don't observe the Sabbath, and they can take those scriptures and talk about how it has to be enforced. And all of those things were said, and all those things are true. But what they're missing is that they thought the Sabbath in itself was the key, and God was trying to honor a day, and that this was the point. The Sabbath was only a picture of something that is now available to us in the New Testament. And people have missed this point that it was a picture, it was a shadow, and they thought that it was the thing that God was really trying to do. Nope, there was a time that God enforced the picture, and if you violated what He was trying to picture through the Sabbath, well, then there was a punishment attached to it. But now, this scripture, Colossians 2, 16 and 17, says that this picture of the Sabbath has now been completed in Christ, and we no longer have to live under that picture, under that symbolism, that type, and that shadow anymore. I know that this is surprising some people. Some of you are shocked with what I'm saying, but this is exactly what the Bible is saying. It was a type, it was a shadow, a picture of something that was to come, and now the reality is fulfilled in Christ. You know, let me just make this point, that the Sabbath, technically, the observance of the physical day was not Sunday. It was actually from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. Now, the Seventh-day Adventist, I'm not against them. I know some people who are Seventh-day Adventist, and I'm not against them. It's a denomination, and they've got good and bad and some things just like anybody else. But I believe that, technically speaking, that's incorrect. The Seventh-day Adventist observed the observance of the Sabbath on all day Saturday from midnight Saturday till midnight Sunday, or the end of the Saturday, and they consider that 24-hour block the Sabbath. If you're going to be technically correct, in the Jewish calendar, it started on sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. That's the way that the Jews observed it. And that's not only the Jews. I mentioned this earlier out of Genesis chapter 1. Every time the Lord did something, He would say the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day, the third day, etc. The way that God counted time, and the Jews reflected this in the way that they did it, was from sundown one day to sundown the next day. That is a day according to Scripture. So if you're going to be legally, technically correct on observing the Sabbath, it's from sundown Saturday till sundown on, sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. That is the Sabbath. So the Seventh-day Adventists have tweaked that and changed it a little bit. Technically, they pride themselves on being Sabbath keepers, but they're breaking the Sabbath because they aren't honoring it on Friday evening, which technically is the Sabbath. If you're going to observe the Sabbath, if you believe that it's really the Sabbath, well, then do it. But even beyond that, there's a lot of Christians that believe that they're keeping the Sabbath by observing Sunday as a day off. So in effect, what they're saying is it doesn't really matter what day it is, just as long as you honor the principle of taking one day out of seven off and not working on that day. Well, that's not really fulfilling it either. I mean, if you were really to believe that the physical day had to be observed for you to be a Sabbath keeper, then we ought to all become Seventh-day Adventist, or even beyond that, we ought to become something brand new, because the Seventh-day Adventist only observes Saturday from midnight to midnight, whereas it should be Friday from, say, 6 to p.m. till Saturday 6 p.m. So what I'm saying is, if you're just going to be technical about this, nobody's really keeping the day of the Sabbath. And on top of that, it is the people who say that they don't work. They may not go out and provide their job. They may not work their physical job on Saturday, but they will do things that violate the intention and the motivation behind the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a day for a man to rest, to withdraw himself from effort, and in place of work, put all of their attention, all of their focus on seeking God. There's a lot of people that don't work a certain day, and they think that because they do that, they're keeping the Sabbath. But what they're doing is they're watching football, they're watching movies, they're goofing off, they aren't seeking God, they aren't praying, they aren't studying the Word, they aren't using that day to focus on God. Or many of them will go to church 1 hour and think that that has satisfied the need of seeking God. The rest of the day is spent watching football or whatever. That's not keeping the Sabbath if you're just going to observe the physical laws concerning it. And I don't want to get into that, because my point is that all of those who are priding themselves on, I still keep the Sabbath, I believe it's for us today, the people who are priding themselves and still saying that they're under that aren't living what they say. They aren't fulfilling the letter and the law of the Sabbath. And so am I saying that they're all wrong? What I'm saying is that they're hypocritical to their own profession. But the truth is, just as it says in Colossians 2, 16 and 17, the Sabbath and these other things listed were pictures shadows of something that was to come, but the reality of it. The body now is here in Christ, and since we have what is real now, the reality in Christ, we don't even have to observe the picture and the shadow anymore. And this is the reason that the New Testament church did not observe the Sabbath, which they were very well aware that it was from 6 p.m. on Friday to 6 p.m. on Saturday. They were very aware of what the physical, literal Sabbath was, and yet the New Testament church didn't observe the day they meant on the Sabbath, on Saturday. Instead, they instituted meeting on the first day of the week. They did it by design to make a clear break between the traditions and the symbolism of the Old Testament into the New Testament reality of Christ. The first day of the week, Sunday, is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And the New Testament church leaders, on purpose, deliberately, chose the first day of the week as the day that the church met together to worship and to praise God in honor of the resurrection of Jesus and the ushering in of a brand new covenant. It wasn't a mistake. It didn't happen through pagan leaders. It happened in the Bible. You can read this. This isn't tradition that happened hundreds of years later through the influence of tradition and error and heresy as it entered into the church. In the Bible, you see the first century believers meeting on the first day of the week. There's many examples of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, around verse 1, Paul even said that on the first day of the week, when you are gathered together to set aside these offerings so that when he came, he wouldn't have to make special collections. They'd already be there. But he made reference to the fact that the church met on the first day of the week. You know why they did that? Because one of the vast differences between true Christianity and the Judaism before the Messiah came was that they had become encumbered in all of these rules and regulations that were prescribed in the Old Testament. But it was because they were pictures. They were trying to illustrate and show something. Now, on our program tomorrow, I'm not going to have time today, but on our program tomorrow, I'm going to illustrate what the Sabbath really pictured. And I think it'll become very clear to you. But the Sabbath and other rituals in the Old Testament pictured certain things. Now the reality was there in Christ, and the New Testament church understood this, and so they wanted to make a clear separation between the ritualism, the carnal observances that had become so cumbersome that they were punishing people because they went out and violated some of these rituals and laws. That's never what God intended. That wasn't the heart of God. It was just to illustrate something, and people became more concerned with the illustration than they did what it was trying to illustrate. And so the New Testament church, realizing this, recognizing that the Sabbath was probably one of the premier things that the Jews tried to enforce, and it didn't matter about your heart, it didn't matter about whether you loved God or people, it was all about, did you walk so many steps on the Sabbath day? In an effort to separate themselves from that legalism and that condemnation, they deliberately did not meet on the Sabbath. They met on the first day of the week to make a clear separation so that the Christians would recognize that these things are past. The ceremonial law and these things are over, and we do not have to be bound by these rules and regulations. That is so obvious to anybody who studies the Scripture. And yet, in our present day religious situation, there are multitudes of Christians that are condemned if they go out and mow their yard on the Sabbath day. And it's not even the Sabbath. It's on Sunday. They are just totally missing the whole principle of everything that's being said. That is not accurate. That was only a picture of something. On our program tomorrow, I'm going to share with you what the reality is. And I tell you, you need this. So join me again tomorrow. You need to hear what I've got to say. And also this tape that I'm offering entitled Our Sabbath Rest will explain this, and tomorrow is going to be our last day to offer that. So I encourage you to listen as our announcer gives you this information, and please call or write and request this tape. And then join me again on our program tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's teaching titled Our Sabbath Rest is available on a single CD, or it's available on a DVD made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD number TK19C or DVD number T3504D when you contact the ministry. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this teaching on CD free of charge. Request teaching number TK19C when you contact us, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, the things that I've been sharing with you, there's a lot more that I have to share. And probably the best way I have to offer to you to get these materials is just to go on our website. And you can get any of my materials there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I also have entire articles, books. I have my Life for Today study Bible on there that you can literally download the footnotes that I've written onto your computer free of charge, less than 10 minutes, and you can have access to all of that teaching. I've got my radio and television programs on there that you can watch. It's a great resource, so join us at awmi.net.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd, and Chicago, Illinois, for a Gospel Truth seminar May 7th through the 9th. He'll also be in Amsterdam for the Eurospirit Conference, May 21st through the 23rd, Raleigh, North Carolina, for a Gospel Truth seminar June 11th through the 13th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. On today's program, Andrew mentioned the online version of his Life for Today study Bible. You can access this commentary by visiting our website at awmi.net and clicking on Bible Commentary on the left-hand side of the page. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
See, the average Christian is pleading, "Oh God, save me. Oh God, heal me. Oh God, pour out your joy. Oh God, send revival." As if God has to do something, as if it's God who hasn't released His power. What I'm telling you is God has already done His part. Everything that you ever need, the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit has already been given.